Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the prison house of form. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, the founder of Lucis Trust. Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature, and those 24 volumes of literature are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought also comes from the works of Alice Bailey. The spiritual problem of limitation is closely linked to that of liberation. Birth establishes the soul in the true prison, the physical body, and physical death is only the first step towards liberation. Does this mean that the spiritual meaning of freedom and bondage might not be what we think it is?
It certainly implies that. It's interesting, isn't it, to reflect on this comment from the books of Alice Bailey, especially the final part of that comment, that physical death is only the first step towards liberation. What she's implying in that, we don't know, but it does suggest that the release from the body enables the soul to progress. And, of course, it progresses on a path and on a plane that we can't follow because we live here on Earth and are, by the very nature of our experience in the physical body, imprisoned in it, limited in it, constrained by the physical body and the physical plane, but for a purpose, for a spiritual reason. I'm sure that if we had the consciousness that could span from the plane of life on earth to the inner planes of the soul and spirit, we would find ourselves not really focused in life here on earth where we need to be for this present cycle. And we've talked in previous programs about how the soul undergoes a kind of imprisonment in form for purposes of sacrifice and for redemption of the matter and substance of the earth and the matter and substance of the bodies that the soul inhabits, the physical, emotional, and mental bodies that each of us has created and uses. All of this is for redemption of the bodies that we work through and the lives that we touch on earth. But there is a limitation and a kind of bondage that the soul submits to when it incarnates. And that, I think, is deeply sensed by many people, even if they can't articulate the reasons for it.
Yeah, but I think the whole idea that the physical body, your body, my body, and everyone else's physical body is a prison house of some kind, we don't really think of it that way. And that may be kind of a new way of looking at the problem for some people. But to the soul, as you said, to the soul as it comes into the world, and it suffers tremendous limitations of its capabilities by incarnating in this physical form. It has to work through a very insensitive brain, and the physical body is very impure. And so it poses, as you said, tremendous limitations on the soul's ability to work in the world, to work its energies, and to radiate its light, which is essentially what it's supposed to do eventually. But that is a willing sacrifice that the soul undertakes in each life, and there is a great purpose behind this actions of the soul in the world.
The writings of Alice Bailey say that all lives are embodied in forms, and therefore the implication is that all lives, even the subatomic lives on up to the human lives and so on, all are embodied in forms and all are prisoners of those forms. And she wrote that all atoms of substance down to these tiny atomic lives that comprise matter of all grades are atomic substance, and that this enables matter to be lifted up or energized by its contact with spirit, and that spirit in turn, by being imprisoned in form, is able to enhance its vibration through its experience in matter. Well, this is all very abstract, but there is a profound spiritual and divine purpose working out through the impact or collision of spirit and matter, and all of us are the product of that colliding of forces. We are spirit, we are, in the sense, gods in the making, and we are material beings with two mortal flesh that doesn't obey our higher impulses always. And the struggle to redeem our material nature is a major aspect of the spiritual quest.
And the soul does gains experience. It isn't here just to redeem, but it's here to gain the experience of working in matter, in form, and it develops the sensitivity to matter and to form, and that's what one of the things it gains. Life after life, it comes into this world and working through a form of tremendous limitations, but it gains the ability to develop sensitiveness to the form world, and that's a capability in, that it takes with it when it returns to its source. So it does, it's kind of a two-way thing. The soul gains, but also so does the matter aspect. The material form is also being energized and lifted up, and its vibration is being increased all the time by the activity of the soul.
This whole imprisonment is something that runs as a kind of a thread throughout a number of the world's religions. Judaism has the story of the release of the Jewish people out of bondage, and there's the biblical story of Jonah and the whale, which is a classic symbolic depiction of the captivity of the soul within the material form. And there are the spirituals, the religious music of American slaves that express the yearning to be free of very real bondage as enslavement. But you could see all of those examples as expressing a spiritual urge that every human being probably feels on some level or another, that there is some kind of what the poet Robert Browning called imprisoned splendor within every human being that seeks release. And one of the greatest services that one can render to another human being is to help them release that imprisoned splendor, whatever it might be. By that I mean to draw forth from the individual that which is most precious and most beautiful and most aspirational within them. And the great teachers who work with children, the very best of the teachers, are able to do this. But it can occur, I think, at any stage of development. It doesn't have to be just with children. People who take up an artistic pursuit, or who become gardeners, or who learn a new field of knowledge or who gain a spiritual understanding as the result of often of suffering and difficulty are people who are releasing something that had been imprisoned within them, don't you think?
Yes, definitely, and that's the soul aspect coming through too, because that is the search for betterment, for beauty in a life, and expressing the true beauty. It's an impulse that comes from deep within, from the God aspect, if you will, to search out the greater beauty in life and to express that beauty. And that's essentially what God came into the world to do, and or created this world to do, to create a more beautiful expression of the light and love that he's trying to work through in this planet. So, yes, there is a great urge, a spiritual urge behind all of the work of the soul to bring a more beauty and light into the world.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, the Prison House of Form. And we have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company today, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Death, the Great Adventure. Death, the Great Adventure is a compilation of extracts on the spiritual meaning of death from the books of Alice Bailey. And let me give you a quote from this book, Death, the Great Adventure, by Alice Bailey. And I quote, "The present cycle is the end of the age, and the next 200 years will see the abolition of death as we now understand that great transition, and the establishing of the fact of the soul's existence." Now, the special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling, and all you need to do is send a check or money order, $11, to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, ask for the book Death, the Great Adventure, and send a check or money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005, and just write a little note that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. If you need to call us for any reason whatsoever, you can certainly do so and give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. That's a toll-free number. Once again, 1-866-695-8247. You can call that number to order books, copies of shows, that's cassette tapes, a schedule of our meditation meetings. Or if you'd like a general package of information explaining Lucis Trust and the various aspects of Lucis Trust, you can certainly give us a call and order it. Once again, the easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. You can key it into our website if you'd like to, www.lucistrust.org. And there's a lot of information on our website about Lucis Trust. And many people key into the website because they want to hear the previously archived library of radio shows. And also, we appreciate your donations. They're tax deductible, by the way. And if you'd like to give us donations, we certainly appreciate them, large and small. They're an expression to us of your support. So send all donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And those donations certainly help to keep us on the air. Sarah, I couldn't pass over that comment that you made so quickly about gods in the making. Are you saying that according to the Alice Bailey books that we have a divinity within that is constantly evolving and that one day perhaps we'll actualize that divinity?
Well, that's one of the essential principles of the Path of Ageless Wisdom. The great teacher and writer H.P. Blavatsky said, "Man is both an animal and a living God." And what she meant by that is the animal part is our physical nature, which we share with the animal kingdom, a physical body. The God part, the God in the making part, is our inner spiritual essence, which in many of us is pretty much eclipsed by our outer physical personality, but is gradually awakening and coming to the foreground through the path of evolution. And all of us are at varying stages on that path, but we are not God with a capital G, but small g, gods in the making, in the sense of being divine in origin and returning to that divinity over the path of evolution, of spiritual development. That path is not an easy one to tread. And one of the major misunderstandings, I think, that is associated with spiritual development is that it leads to freedom. Many people, I think, take up the spiritual quest out of an urge to escape bondage, to find freedom, to express themselves, whatever that means, to feel liberated as personalities. But what they are rebelling against, the bondage that we discussed earlier, leads not to greater freedom, but oddly enough, to greater obedience. And I think many people don't necessarily understand that the spiritual path is one of obedience, not in the sense of coercion or of one's free will being compelled to cooperate with the more powerful will, but in the sense that the soul has a plan and you could say an agenda for any particular incarnation that it seeks to accomplish through the individual living in the body on earth. And obedience to that plan requires that we listen to our higher self, obey our highest knowledge, obey our inner teacher, which exists within all of us, the Christ principle within every one of us. It's that obedience I'm talking about.
Yes, it's not obedience to a guru or to some outside teacher, which many people sometimes mistake it for, but it's learning to just obey your own inner resources and your own intuition, if you can really plumb that very high line of intuition that's in the higher mind, above the higher mind, actually. But it's understanding what lies within you and listening to that, as you said. And it isn't so much, it isn't at all obeying some other teacher or guru.
It's obeying your own higher self.
Right. And it's cultivating that capacity to listen to your inner self.
And yet today it seems the whole trend of present times is the quest for freedom, isn't it? It's held before us as an ideal and promoted by all of our leaders, and we're told that all human beings aspire to freedom, and they do. That's true. But it's not personal license. It's not the permission to do whatever one wants just because it feels good or indulges one's own desires and glamours. That isn't the intention of the soul. The soul's intention is utter cooperation with the divine plan, utter intention to cooperate with the one humanity in the fulfillment of God's plan. That's the kind of obedience I'm talking about, and it is, in a sense, restrictive. It's restrictive or limiting of our lower, baser, more selfish inclinations, and those need to be dealt with by every person on the spiritual path. So you could say that the path of spiritual development is an exceedingly fine line, sometimes called the razor's edge, and it requires a lot of sacrifice and a willingness to submit and acquiesce to our highest understanding. Not somebody else's highest understanding, but our highest understanding.
that's a lesson that's hard to grasp, I think, at first, because so many of us tend to want other people to do our thinking for us, and it's easier. And you say, "Well, so and so says the such and such is true, so I'll accept that. It must be true," but not necessarily. I mean, you have to think these things through yourself. And I was just thinking about the you mentioned about freedom, the desire for freedom so much in the world, and that's an impulse, that's an idea that comes from very deep. It's the most fundamental idea that comes right back to the energy of God himself, I think, because that's really the thrust of what's standing behind the work of the soul, is freedom and liberation from this bondage, this form life that we live in. And so our attraction to freedom, to the idea of freedom, really has a deep spiritual background to it.
And it relates to your question, Robert, about whether we are gods in the making. We, as Blavatsky said, man is an animal plus a living God. And I think that quest for freedom is an indication or an expression of that deep-seated realization that we are divine in origin and divine in destiny. And the quest to be independent and to be, uncurtailed in the fulfillment of our spiritual will is, I think, what you're saying lies behind freedom. It's not license. It's not personal permissiveness or of carelessness about the needs or obligations to anyone else. It's this urge to be a full and total expression of our highest potential.
Yes, and the idea that freedom has become such an important personal thing, and maybe it's because the particular focus of consciousness of the human race today is very personal.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's inevitable that we take an idea like freedom and translate it through the personality and label it as a personal freedom.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to see things through our own personal self first, and that's why we interpret ideas. They come through the personal self, so we interpret it very personally.
And we tend to impose that ideal as we understand it on others,
yeah,
rather than ask them what their idea of freedom is.
And we do the same thing with religious ideas and mm-hmm. religion and with God. You know, it's our God, and it's a very personal God, and I have this personal contact with God. So it's everything becomes very personal at first, until one's consciousness begins to expand and becomes more decentralized and centralized in the soul, in the group conscious soul. Then we can understand freedom from the much broader context. And that's then we understand that freedom really has to do with the work of God and our own responsibility of work as an agent of God in this world to actually work out His plan and not our own little plan of freedom.
There's a wonderful comment by Alice Bailey that relates to that. She said that unitedly all people realize today the need to rise out of the prison of self-interest into the freedom of shared opportunity. And the factor which will bring about this resurrection, she said, is goodwill. Well, I think we all realize I think all people of goodwill realize that self-interest and the endless pursuit of self-satisfaction, personal comfort, which is such a dominant factor of Western and especially American life, is in its own way a prison house. We think the freedom to pursue material benefits and material comfort and enjoyment is going to be liberating. But in fact, I think one of the frustrations of our time is this realization that it's a dead end, a cul-de-sac. And when she speaks of the freedom of shared opportunity, doesn't it evoke in us a sense of the liberating joy of cooperation and of opening up our horizons to a larger context than our own little lives and our own little circle of friends and family? That's what the whole time is, I think, pushing us towards. And perhaps tragedies like the recent national disaster break down those barriers of self-interest.
Yes, that's one of the great lessons that's being imposed upon us, whether we know it or not, I think, is to let go of that little objective image of ourselves, mm-hmm. and our world and our little world, and realize that there is a greater problems in the one humanity that have to be dealt with.
She said, Alice Bailey said, let it be remembered always that each field of awareness in its boundaries constitutes a prison. The objective of all the work of liberation, she said, is to release the consciousness and expand its contacts. Where there are boundaries of any kind, you have a prison. Where there is apprehension of a vision and of a wide, unconquered territory, there will undoubtedly and inevitably be a sense of imprisonment and of cramping. So the realization or the sensation that there is more beyond the present understanding and the present knowledge that we have creates this sense of being confined, imprisoned, and of being blocked. But that very sense of blockage is what compels the human being to break through it. And this is the whole path of liberation. If everything were easy and open and available to us, we wouldn't have that urge to break through into a higher level of consciousness. So maybe we can say the prison house of form has its uses.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Death, The Great Adventure. Death, The Great Adventure is a compilation of extracts on the spiritual meaning of death from the books of Alice Bailey. And also, what you need to do to get that book is to send a check or money order, $11, to Lucis Publishing, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And please make a little notation that you heard about it on Inner Sight. And if you need to give us a call and get our general package of information, please do so at 1-866-695-8247. Easy way is 1-866-NY-LUCIS or New York Lucis. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.